Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. All eyes will be on the Boston Red Sox tonight as they host the St. Louis Cardinals for the first game in baseball's World Series. Left-hander John Lester is taking the mound for the Sox. Here's what he had to say about tonight's game.
You got to execute pitches. You got to stay away from, in the postseason, you got to stay away from big innings. And if you can minimize that to one, maybe two runs, and give your team a chance. Obviously, with their pitching staff, it's going to be tough again for us.
That pitching staff includes righty Adam Wainwright, who starts tonight for St. Louis. Boston officials are warning fans heading to the game that there will be more police on hand than usual, and they're urging everyone to use public transportation as much as possible. The son of a former advisor to Bill Clinton has formally announced his campaign for general treasurer. As Rhode Island Public Radio's political reporter Ian Donis reports, Seth Magaziner now works as a vice president for a socially responsible investment firm in Boston.
30-year-old Magaziner grew up in Bristol, and he lives in Providence. Magaziner graduated from Brown and worked as a teacher in a poor Louisiana school district before becoming an exec at Trillium Asset Management in Boston. Magaziner says he thinks he could make a contribution as general treasurer.
I'm running because, based on my background as an investment professional, I know that there are things that I can do from the treasurer's office to spur economic growth and put people back to work.
Magaziner joins former treasurer Frank Caprio and former state auditor Ernest Almonte as Democrats running for treasurer next year. Magaziner's father, Ira, worked in the Clinton White House and remains active with the Clinton Foundation. Ian Donis, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Rhode Island is being called the national leader in the push to build wind energy farms. The comment yesterday from U.S. Interior Secretary Sally Jewell came during a conference on offshore wind energy in Providence. The conference was sponsored by the American Wind Energy Association. Rhode Island-based Deepwater Wind is planning a wind farm off the coast of Block Island. Speaking at the conference, U.S. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse and Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee both said they see great potential in wind energy to create cleaner sources of power and create new jobs. The Roots Cultural Center in downtown Providence is shutting its doors. The building on Westminster Street's owners are selling it to a Providence-based real estate developer called 276 Westminster Street LLC. The Roots Cultural Center has been a diverse music and arts environment since it opened in March of 2011 in the home of the former Black Repertory Theater. In a statement, co-owner Len Cabral says more and more of the center's energy and resources were going toward building costs rather than programming. Cabral says he and others at the Roots Cultural Center hope the building's new owners can find a space for arts and education programs. And what's in a name? Well, just ask David Ortiz. Not Ortiz the Red Sox slugger, but Ortiz the spokesman for Providence's mayor. He says during the baseball season, people love to tell him whether he played a good game, and he often gets a reaction when he makes a reservation or pulls out his wallet.
Often when I give somebody my credit card, they'll take it, and then they'll look at me, and they'll look back at the card, and they'll look at me again, and they'll smile and say, "Really?"
Ortiz says he's not upset that he shares the same name with the Red Sox slugger, but his mom, who's a Mets fan, calls her son the first David Ortiz. It's Morning Edition on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Elizabeth Harrison. The Red Sox kick off their World Series battle against the St. Louis Cardinals tonight at Fenway Park. Here at Rhode Island Public Radio, we have a couple of Red Sox fanatics who also cover politics, so we asked them to take off their political hats for a moment and put on their baseball caps. Scott McKay and Ian Donis, great to see you this morning.
Good morning, Elizabeth.
Great to be here.
So for the non-baseball fans in the audience, this has been a pretty amazing season for Red Sox fans. How far has the team had to come to make it to this year's World Series?
Well, Elizabeth, it's hard to imagine a greater contrast between the Red Sox of 2012 and 2013. The regular season record of the team this year improved by almost 30 games. That's really a remarkable improvement. And the contrast in personality couldn't be any greater either. Last year, under former manager Bobby Valentine, there was a lot of dissension. The teammates didn't really seem to like one another. New manager John Farrell, who was formerly a pitching coach during the Terry Francona era, came in as the manager. And this team has had a lot of charisma. They seem very cohesive. They have this beard thing. And they started playing really well from the start of the season. I think one of the things that really sets this team apart is that there's not one individual who stands out. It's really been a team effort in the true sense of the word.
Yeah, one of the things about this team that's really remarkable is they're never out of a game. They're a bunch of real blue-collar grinder-type guys who just play the game right down to the last inning. And we saw that remarkably in the last series where, you know, we have these grand slam home runs by Victorino and David Ortiz. So I think that's a big, big change from last year. Also, they've had some good pitching over the year. Clay Buchholz, the reemergence of him. John Lackey coming off Tommy John surgery has been very effective for them. And we have the closer, Koji Uehara. He's the number three closer. After the first two went down, he's come on in the late season, and he was just shut out, didn't allow any runs against Detroit in the American League Championship Series. He will be a crucial factor in how we do in the World Series.
Now, this is not the first time in recent memory that the Sox have faced St. Louis in the World Series, and the last time was historic. So tell me a little bit about that series, the history here.
Well, the last time they played was 2004. There are only two players left because baseball now, the players move back and forth so often. There are only two players left, Ortiz for the Red Sox, and, of course, Yadier Molina for the St. Louis Cardinals left on that team, but that was the team that broke the so-called curse of the Bambino because the Red Sox had gone 86 years without winning a World Series, and that was the significance. They've played the St. Louis Cardinals twice since World War II, 1946 and 1967, and we lost both of those series here in Boston in seven games.
And Ian, I can see you have something to add. Ian Donis?
Yeah, the Red Sox and the Cardinals have a storied history. They're two of the oldest franchises in baseball. The Cardinals are not as well known as the Red Sox. They don't have these marquee players like David Ortiz, but they have a very strong team from their pitching ace, Adam Wainwright, who's going to start in game one, to a rookie, Michael Wacha, who is very young. He's about 20 years old and has just come out of nowhere to pitch very well. And as Scott said, the Red Sox and Cardinals squared off in 1946 and 1967. And Bob Gibson was very strong for the Cardinals in 67 and 45. The late beloved Red Sox, Johnny Pesky, was gunned down at home plate by Enos Slaughter. There was a long debate about whether Pesky had slowed down around the bases, and it should be an exciting matchup.
So, Ian and Scott, what's your analysis? What is the outlook this time around for the Sox?
I think most analysts put the Red Sox as a slight favorite, and I would agree with that. I think American League baseball, the offense tends to be more powerful and explosive, and at the same time, the Red Sox have some good pitching, but this Cardinals team is very strong. They have Carlos Beltran, who's been a monster in the postseason for years. They do have some very strong pitching. It should be a fantastic series.
And Scott, what do you think the Sox need to do coming right out of the gate in Game 1 tonight?
Well, I want to see John Lester, in particular, pitch a good, strong six, maybe seven innings. Pitching wins World Series. It's a cliche, but it usually ends up being the case. Ian referred to 1967. The reason the Red Sox lost that series is because Bob Gibson won three games, a starter. That won't happen anymore, I don't think. But I'm looking for strong pitching from the Red Sox starters, again, Clay Buchholz, John Lester, John Lackey, and we need Koji Uehara and the bullpen to step up and do this.
It's really remarkable when you look at it. The Sox went for 86 years without winning a world championship. Now they're getting a shot at bringing home their third World Series title in just 10 years. Who will the Sox really be counting on besides their pitching to deliver if they want to take this series?
Well, I think one thing that's striking about this 2013 Red Sox team, they never lost more than three consecutive games throughout the season. And of course, they have their prominent players like David Ortiz. But as I said earlier, it's been a real team effort. There might be a game where Jared Saltalamacchia, the catcher, comes up big, or Daniel Nava, who had a tremendous season, a guy who almost fell out of professional baseball. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's an unsung hero or one of the lesser known players who proves crucial, although I thought the MVP award for Koji Uehara in the championship series was well placed.
And anyone who's been watching the games this season has probably noticed that a lot of Sox players and a lot of their fans are sporting quite a bit of extra facial hair. So, Scott and Ian, what's the story with that?
Well, these guys decided to grow the beards. And it's funny, it's one of these clubhouse things that brings them together. It seems goofy, even silly, but it seems to work. In 2004, that team had this cowboy up mentality, it was called. And it's interesting that some of the people like Mike Napoli, who came to the team just this year, it's his first year, Johnny Gomes. These were solid players, but they're not superstars. And this team was constructed around good players who worked very hard and didn't seek the limelight just for themselves. So it's a very interesting clubhouse dynamic.
One really beauty thing about that was how the New York Times reported as a fact that a family of squirrels lives in Mike Napoli's beard, so that alone is historic.
Well, Scott McKay and Ian Donis, thanks for your insights, and I'll put away my Dodger blue for a minute and say go Sox.
Go Sox.
Go Sox.